Like, if you can approach dating from this place of like, oh, this is going to be a vehicle, my next chapter of personal growth. Like, I'm going to allow this to actually help me grow and turn into the type of person who's going to enter a relationship not from a place of fear and need, but from a grounded place of self-love and connection.
Hey, midlifers, welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show. Are you ready to break free from your mundane midlife? Are you feeling trapped in a vicious cycle of rinse and repeat days? No matter if you're experiencing a divorce hangover, job burnout, or you just have the midlife blues, I got you. Hey, I'm Wendy, your hostess of the Midlife Mostest. I too was hit by midlife like a freight train. I too felt stuck in the same dull chapter. I wanted the clarity of how to create a new life beyond divorce and the courage to leave an unfulfilling career. But I kept telling myself that I wasn't worthy and it was just easier to stay in my comfort zone. Until I found a little secret, the freedom to live my life my way. In this podcast, you will learn how to achieve a vibrant midlife mind and body, how to create solid relationships through love and loss, and how to create an awesome second half of life. Grab your grande latte, pop in your earbuds, and let's get this midlife party started. Hi, I'm Wendy Valentine, host of the Midlife Makeover Show. Today, I want to share something personal with you. At 45, my world turned upside down. I was going through a divorce, battling depression, grieving the loss of my brother, and dealing with chronic illness. But I want to tell you about a turning point in my journey, therapy. Speaking to a therapist was a lifeline for me. It was a safe space where I could express my pain and start to find my way back to joy and hope. That's why I'm thrilled to introduce today's sponsor, BetterHelp, the world's largest therapy service. BetterHelp offers professional licensed therapists who are available online at your convenience. You can message your therapist anytime or schedule live sessions via video, phone, or chat. I believe in the power of therapy because it helped me navigate the toughest times of my life. If you're going through a tough time or just need someone to talk to, I encourage you to try BetterHelp. As a listener of the Midlife Makeover Show, you can get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/midlife or choose the Midlife Makeover Show during signup. Welcome to the Midlife Makeover Show, where we explore pathways to a more joyful and fulfilling midlife. Today, we're delving into the art of conscious dating, a transformative approach to creating more meaningful, authentic, and nourishing experiences, not just in dating, but in every connection we make throughout our lives. In this episode, we're joined by a very special guest, Sophie Singer. Don't you just love that name? Sophie is a pioneer in the matchmaking world, where she brings healing, personal growth, and conscious connection to the forefront. She's the founder of Sophie.love, that's Sophy.love, where she's known as the conscious matchmaker. Good night. Matchmaker. Every time I do these intros, I'm like, Wendy, just get through the intro. Having faced significant personal challenges, Sophie's journey has been deeply transformative, making her uniquely attuned to the subconscious barriers that prevent us from finding true connection and love. Her innovative methodology combines authentic relating and internal family systems, all based on an evidence-backed, trauma-informed approach. Sophie doesn't just create matches. She facilitates a journey towards self-compassion and realization, helping individuals to embrace all parts of themselves. Today, Sophie will share how we can forge deeper connections that go beyond the surface, cultivating partnerships that are based on mutual understanding, empathy, and collective growth. It's about aligning with our true selves and building sustainable, enriching relationships. So, further ado, let's welcome Sophie Singer to the Midlife Makeover Show.
Thank you, Wendy. So happy to be here. I love your energy right now so much. Yes.
Hanging out in my RV, you know.
So gorgeous.
We had it. Such a great conversation before we even hit record about midlife and making over our lives and from trauma to triumph. And oh my gosh. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I know, right? There's so much there.
So it's interesting. Yes, I'm in an RV park. I meet so many fascinating people. And I spoke to this couple the other day, and you hear people's stories, where they come from, especially when you're most likely people are at midlife in an RV park. And as I was like listening to them, kind of hearing their background and where they came from and what inspired them to take off in an RV. And it was like, everybody has a story. And I feel like your story can either make you or break you.
Sure can.
So has your story, has it broken you or has it made you into who you are today or both?
I mean, right now I can say it made me into who I am today. And it's interesting because up until a couple of years ago, I was flying the banner of, I am not a victim. I am not defined by these horrible things that happened to me, that people did in my life, these things. I've rolled up my sleeves. I had the, like, I'm a survivor and I'm not defined by my past banner flying all the time. But really, up until a couple years ago, my story had broken me, actually. Mm. And it only really made me who I am now, right? After I got on this this path of conscious inner healing and understanding of like who I actually am underneath all of it.
Yeah. I have found that, like, I don't know about you, but your breakdowns can become your greatest breakthroughs. And I feel like, right? Like, and I feel like when we get broken down, it breaks you open and into the 100%. Person that you truly are. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, I had years ago when I was really like at the worst of the worst, I was at my therapist's office and I looked over on her wall and she had this little quote. And it was, I don't remember the quote exactly, but it was something about how a seed breaks open and how it's basically deconstructing. It would be great if I could talk today. And, but from that seed is this beautiful little, you know, plant that comes out of it. So the point is that sometimes you might look at that seed and it's like, oh my God, the thing's breaking apart. It's awful. But no, what is coming out of it is growth and, and something new, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. When you said that, you know, breakdown, breakthrough, I'll never forget like having my first massive, I call it that. I actually describe it as my first big breakdown, breakthrough.
Yeah.
And just sitting there doing an internal family systems, like a little guided meditation actually on my own after having had like two or three sessions with my coach. And yeah, just having this guidance into like, can you just ask this part that's like here right now? Like, what does it have some sort? It was like a very like anxious part. Like I was working with, and I said, like, just ask if it has any like memory or vision to show you. And the memory of basically the biggest trauma of my life, you know, my father murdering someone when I was 17 that night, this memory came flooding in. Literally, I was 45 years old, okay? This happened when I was 17. And just sitting there on my own, just starting to like hysterically sob and wail. And realizing like, holy shit, I have not cried about this since then. Since like I was 17.
Wow.
It's like hours of sobbing.
I can imagine that if your parent had murdered someone, no matter what your age, would have had a big impact on your life and your well-being.
It just, like I said, I only now understand how much it blew me up inside. Like, at the time, I couldn't express or process or do any of that. I was about to be a senior. I was a senior about to go to UC Berkeley. I'd worked my ass off. I was like literally entering second semester senior year, so excited to go to college, got into my top school that I wanted to go to. And I was just like, okay, this is so messed up, but I'm rolling up my sleeves and this is not defining me. Little did I know. It's gonna fucking define me. But at the time I was like, no. And that we just went in and only now am I like, the body keeps the score, right?
I love that book.
Yes. And so only now going in and doing internal family systems, I've been doing it consistently for 2 years. Geez, the parts that formed during all those years, that night, the time before, the years following. Mm. Yeah. And it just blew me up. I had so much shame around the fact that my father was a murderer. Like, I went through and that's what brought me. It's interesting. Mm. This is where I'm now reflecting back and realizing, shit, all those years that I was searching for my partner, I carried this shame, like deep shame. Like, who's gonna wanna marry the daughter of a murderer? That's just like so horrible.
Yeah, and I'm sure that probably comes up in when you're on a date. So tell me about your parents.
Every date, it's like your parents are divorced, and I manage the amount of energy it takes to withhold and manage those parts of you and your story that you're ashamed of and scared to reveal. And I didn't realize at the time. At the time I was like, well, I just have I always had something prepared. I always knew, like, first date, I'm not going to ever tell anyone. Are you kidding me? That would scare any guy off, right? Like, who's going to want this damaged goods, you know? So I used to always have a story prepared, not like a fake story. I would just keep it really like, my parents are divorced. Haven't talked to my dad in years, always knowing like, yeah, I don't talk to my dad anymore, knowing that that could have also been something of a red flag someone would reject me for. I was just, I say, I'm not close with my dad. I don't talk to him. He lives far, far, meaning in a federal penitentiary, convicted for premeditated murder. Just kind of left that part out. Super close with my mom and my sister, and that was it.
And then, like you said too, I mean, a lot of guys might be like, oh, she's got daddy issues.
That was what,
right? But like, you know, we get judged on our past that was beyond our control.
Always. But in the end, what I realized is the heaviness and the shame with which I held that story is how it came across. And now I hid that story. I very much still managed it up until 2 years ago. And now I'm speaking it right now to you on a podcast that's going to be broadcast to who knows how many people. I used to hide it. I used to hide it to my clients, anybody who I thought, I don't want them to think I'm damaged. What if somebody doesn't want to work with me, like as a matchmaker, or give me their business? Cause God, she must be, it's the same thing. It's a hologram, right? It's like a hologram. Mm-hmm. Back then it was, they're not going to want to marry me. Then it was, they're not going to want to be friends with me in college if they know right away. Then it was, they're not going to want to give me their business as a business owner. It's a hologram of shame over and over. And then when you realize, Jesus, where people connect to you the most is when you reveal the messiest part of being human, like our authentic real selves. That's where the connection actually happens. It's so much more relatable. Not that people can relate to me that having a parent who murdered someone, but just human struggle, shame.
Yes, I know. Shame,
right?
So what happened 2 years ago that triggered that needed to be looked at?
Yeah. So So the next atomic bomb trauma, you know, I had that happen when I was 17. And then when I have twins, I've been married now for almost 13 years. We have 11-year-old boy-girl twins. When my twins were 5 years old, my son was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. So that was like, okay, universe is like, and here's another one. So I went into survival mode. By the way, he's doing phenomenally stable. It's been almost six years since his diagnosis. He's been stable off of treatment for over 2.5 years now. We are blessed beyond and continue just being like, fuck yes, universe. Yes. yes, medicine. Yes, universe. Yes, trust. Yeah. So, but when it happened, it blew me up pretty badly. Survival mode, need to save my son's life, you know, all sorts of stuff. Fast forward 4 years out of diagnosis, I'm 60 pounds overweight, running my company, but just barely, just functioning, not looking forward to anything in life, anxious, annoyed all the time, irritable. Parenting feels so hard. Work feels so hard, even though I'm doing something I love, right? Love. and then I was so blessed that a nonprofit called Max Love Project, which supports pediatric cancer and rare disease families, had crossed my path early days of his diagnosis. And then at that point, I was connected with the co-founders, Justin and Audra Wilford. And Justin posted, one of the things they offered was mental and emotional health support for pediatric.
Oh, that's so nice. Wow.
And Justin posted a video on my birthday, literally on my 45th birthday. I looked back later to see, I was like, oh my God. And it's a video of a gazelle being attacked and then shaking the, like surviving the attack and then physically shaking the trauma off its body, and him talking about his emotional health coaching and talking about internal family systems. And I looked at it and I commented, I said, this sounds so interesting, this type of work. I was searching. I was like, there has to be something, because 20 years of talk therapy got me through. It got me managed. It got me married. It got me having children. But here I was, there was still a big hole inside.
Yeah. And sometimes, so, yeah. You know, yeah, it gets pushed down. I mean, we get busy in life.
You keep pushing it.
Sometimes it's not on purpose. You're just like, okay, I've got to like go to college. I've got to, okay, I'm getting married. Now I'm having children. Like, and then all of a sudden it creeps up on you. And I think, like, I mean, we might've talked about this a little bit, but that's one thing I think that happens at midlife, is that that starts to kind of open up. And
you
then
can't run away.
You're forced to look at it. It's like forced. In your face, like, especially like after, you know, the birdies leave the nest and the house is a little bit quieter. A lot of people out there are going through divorce or separation. Yep. You're sitting there by yourself and you're like, holy shit, here I am. What? And then all of a sudden your life just kind of starts to flash before your eyes. And then you realize, I mean, even though it can seem, and it is, can be so exciting to look forward to that next chapter in life and the second half. At the same time, you're also looking at that first half of the woulda, shoulda, couldas, and wait, what happened here? And why am I divorced? Why do I, it's just this weird, weird transformational stage.
It is. It's almost like when you're sitting and finally still with who you are. And you are like, wait a second, all the things that were supposed to make me really happy and content and at peace, getting married, having the family, having the job, having a house, a nice home, being able to go on vacation, all the things, right, that we thought. Yeah. It was going to be that perfect snapshot. And then you're looking at it and you're like, and that was for me too. It was like the stillness of my son was stable at that point. And I was like, well, here I am. I have a company. My son is stable. And I'm like, not even remotely okay at all. I'm just functioning, bracing myself kind of for the next shitty thing that could happen. And that was it.
Always waiting for that next atomic bomb.
Yeah, well, especially, yes, when you have, and sometimes it takes an atomic bomb or sometimes mm-hmm. it takes the stillness. Usually it's the stillness after, right? Or like you said, at midlife, the bird, you know, empty nest. Okay, here I am. I'm divorced. I mean, these are the clients I work with, right?
Right.
They're like, this whole first half was great, but here I am and I'm not doing so great. And they come mm-hmm. to me and they're like, help me find love.
Yes, yes. And love is going to be different. I feel like once you start to unpack all of that, love looks and feels differently than you can imagine or that you ever imagined before.
It sure does, Wendy.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I think the reason why and what I hope for with the people who come to me and trust me to get on this journey with them is that I didn't understand love so much until I truly loved myself.
Yeah.
And loving myself feels and looks a lot different than what I understood before. And it was really, truly loving the parts of myself that actually I rejected and hid and pushed away for decades, for decades.
Let me ask you this. I know, like you had said, kind of how you were thinking how others were looking at you, right? Because of your father's, you know, the murder and all of that. How did it affect how you looked at others, and especially men?
So, you know, I sought out that which those people who didn't display what I hated about myself and what I hid, what I was ashamed of within myself. So I would have likely over those years, and I went on a lot of dates. What drew me into matchmaking was the fact, and date coaching was the fact that I dated so much. And, you know, like eventually just people started sending me people for advice because I was really good at it and I met my husband. But so I rejected and was repelled by, and I found it off-putting when I would notice qualities or traits or a story within someone that, and I didn't know this at the time. Now I'm understanding it. Cause what that were like, like they came from like a broken, messed up family or whatever it was, right? It was like, I don't want that. Cause that's what I hate about myself. And the thing is, what we don't welcome within ourselves, we will not welcome in another. And until we slow down, and that's one of the practices of authentic relating, the first of the five is welcome everything within you and welcome the not wanting to welcome even. And really once, you know, what we don't welcome within ourselves, we are going to we are not going to welcome in another person. So usually what annoys you about another person or repels you about them is usually something within you that you really
It's a mirror.
Don't like.
Everyone's a mirror.
Yeah. So.
And I mean, authentic relating, right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
It's being authentic. It's being honest. It's being transparent.
Yeah.
And you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, it's tough. Not only like most of the time we think about like, okay, being honest with others, but really sitting down with yourself and being honest. Mm-hmm. With who you are, who you've been, and most importantly, who you want to become. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely change all of that. I mean, you can't change the past, right? It is what it is. Like what your dad did with the things that you've experienced, the relationships, all of it. It is what it is. You can't change it. But you can't actually take, I feel like you can use your past, if you will, and the lessons that you've learned and take that and transform it to make you into the person that you truly want to become. And really, it's truly who you are. I mean, unfortunately, some of those experiences that you go through in your past, it does form you into this person. You're like, I feel like that's why, maybe I'm just speaking for myself here.
Yeah.
But like, that's, I feel like when I woke up at midlife, it was like, what, who am I? This isn't me. This is not who I, like, even the voice that I hear in my head most of the time is not reflecting the life that I'm living. Like, it doesn't make sense to me, but you almost become robotic with some of these learned behaviors and limiting beliefs. And for me, and I've shared this on the show before, it's like, I was abandoned as a child and I did not realize until I had my massive breakdown at 45 years old.
Nice. We both had it.
Yeah. I know, right? That I was it. Like, oh, because I was abandoned when I was a child. And therefore I was always afraid that they were going to leave. And then, so to avoid them leaving me, what did I do? I left. I was like, bye.
So those, so in internal family systems, the exiled part is the child that was abandoned. So that part is like kind of pushed down and stored, right? Like kind of locked away, like her pain was locked away for years. And you had these amazing protector parts that came in to get you through life. And they are like, hey, this pain is never going to happen again. And my job is to protect Wendy. And so my way of protecting her is to make sure that we leave first. No one's leaving her.
Yes.
The banner is flying is never again, right? Never again.
Yep.
And so the thing is, you don't know until you know, right?
Right.
And so it's interesting you say you can't change the past. No, you cannot change the past. But what you can do is you can change the way those parts of you experienced the past.
Yeah.
And by going inward and actually being with these parts as you, your true self, who you are now, and allowing these parts, like the abandoned little girl, having her know that you, Wendy, today are here and that she gets to share what happened and she gets to let go of those burdens. And so it actually does change the story, because when that happens, the protector parts are like, oh, I don't have to be so vigilant anymore. Like, she's not holding all this pain anymore. And they all know that, like, the real you is there inside, and the system relaxes, and there's flow, and there's connection, and there's so much more, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I was just thinking, like, if you're out there listening, you're like, okay, what does this have to do with dating? And
actually, I know. It's everything.
It's everything. Because the thing is, if you're out there, and even if you're not dating, let's just say you're not single. Let's say you're in a marriage. You're very happy. Still, all of this matters, because conscious dating, conscious relating, authentic relating, right? It has to do with all of your relationships.
It does.
And I don't know who had said it, but as far as like, you learn most about yourself through relationships.
It's a mirror. Yep.
Right. I mean, we would love to think like, oh my God, because relationships can be really freaking hard.
And we think,
okay, I'm just going to escape. Yeah. I'm like, I'm just going to escape all these relationships. The hell with this. I'm going to go be by myself up in the mountains. The heck with all of it. But you don't become the person that you can be without relationships, without even the shit that comes with relationships. And I mean, now, like for me, when I get triggered, where I used to be like, oh, I would get like so mad that I was getting triggered. Now I'm like, ooh, I'm getting triggered.
This is why.
Yes. I'm like, what is exactly?
The trailhead. Yeah. Okay. We're going in. We're going in. Precision inwards. Yeah. Let's figure out.
Yeah.
Because when it's hysterical, it's historical. Like,
boom. From trigger to treasure, from trigger to treasure.
Yes. It's so true.
And if you are single and you're at midlife, fucking welcome, because this is going to be the best relationship that you will ever have, because you will end up doing the work so that you can have a playful, wonderful solid, loving, trusting relationship.
Yep.
Whereas before, if you think about it, I mean, how were we prepared? I wasn't prepared as a teenager in my 20s going, okay, let's go ahead and talk about what makes a good relationship
right.
and a good marriage. And this is, you know, we were taught, whether it be by society or family or friends, mm-hmm. that you're checking the boxes. Does he have blue eyes? What college does he go to? What's mm-hmm. he going to be? You know, all of that stuff.
Right.
And then even now with, which is kind of like so nauseating to me, the right. swiping. I have so many friends of friends that are, oh, just got a divorce. And then they're downloading all these apps. They're swiping like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you looking for? You know? And they're not like, I mean, they will start swiping before they sign, you know, those divorce papers without taking that moment to just connect with themselves and go, wait a minute, what did not work? What do I need to make this work this time? You know,
really
being conscious about it.
Are there sights, sounds, or smells that remind you of a past traumatic event, causing you to fight, flight, or freeze? These physical and emotional responses are called triggers, and they happen to all of us. Triggers can be tricky, but the key is to stop the trigger in its tracks and turn the trigger into a treasure. Just like Dr. Nicole LaPera said, there's nothing negative about being triggered. It's a calling to heal our wounds. To help you heal those wounds, I created a free download called the Trigger to Treasure Technique, where you will learn the 4 steps on how to identify your triggers, how to control your triggers, and how you can move past your past so you can live peacefully in the present moment. Please go to wendyvalentine.com/trigger to receive your free download, and you can begin to turn your triggers into treasures.
So I find, look, it's natural, right? You're getting a divorce, you've been married for years. What they're actually looking for is to redeem themselves from this pain, right? So it's painful. And mm-hmm. it's like exciting. And they're like, oh my God, I'm free. I get to have sex with all these people, whoever I want. And there's thousands of them on my phone. I'm just holding this phone and I get to shop for them. Like I'm ordering a Starbucks.
Yeah, like you're on Amazon or something. I can have them here in an hour. Yeah.
Yeah. I can have a 2-day delivery of my next partner and I get to put in all the parameters. I always like to compare it to Starbucks mobile. It's like, I'd like it tall, extra hot, dark, this rope, you know, it's like.
With an extra shot.
Exactly. And the thing is, I think when people hit this midlife point and they're divorced and they're starting over, I mean, it's this opportunity, like you said, to slow down and start to understand what parts of them were driving their attraction, their needs before they were, we all were doing that, right? Like we were all searching for a person to redeem those pained parts of us that were just locked away, right? Like, oh, this person is going to be the father I never had, the mother I never did, the person that never took care of me. You don't realize it, but that's what's actually happening. And so this next chapter is, and it doesn't, even if you've never been married, but even, and you have, regardless, like if you can approach dating from this place of like, oh, this is going to be a vehicle, my next chapter of personal growth. Like I'm going to allow this to actually help me grow and turn into the type of person who's going to enter a relationship, not from a place of fear and need, but from a grounded place of self-love and connection. And then you're actually going to stay in a relationship. I mean, it's not chemistry alone cannot sustain it. That's it. Yeah. And that's why you see so many people dating for 3 months, 4 months, and then it fizzles.
Yep.
3 months fizzles.
Mm-hmm.
That's when reality hits. That's when you start experiencing the human and all their shit and yep. you and all your shit. And then because there are dating apps, what people do is they say, well, this isn't that fun anymore. This isn't yep. like exciting. I'm going to get back on Starbucks Mobile and place my next order. And then they're like, I talk to people. People come to me. They're like, I've been doing online dating for 10 years. And the longest relationship I've had is 4 months. Like, I get that all the time. It's insane. And I'm yeah. like, are you ready for that to stop? Like, are you ready to do something different?
I know. It's interesting because I was just in California. My son lives out there in Santa Monica. And, nice. And you know, I meet a lot of them. They're in their 30s. Some are in their 40s.
Yep. That's my demo.
It's dating-orama.
Oh, yeah.
But then you think about this too. Okay. Shopping. If they're in their 30s, right, and they're shopping, they're going to be in their midlife. It won't be long.
I know. That's why I'm like, can I just give you these tools now? Like everyone who comes, I'm like, that's why once I started doing this work on myself, I was like, oh God, if I'd only had this before. And now I'm just like, this is it. Like, I just want to give this gift to everyone because getting it, like, and understanding it and doing this work as you enter a relationship, I honestly, it's like, I can't imagine anything more important than that. Because then, especially you're building a family, you're having mm-hmm. kids. This has changed the way I show up as a mother.
Yeah.
I cannot tell you, the connection with my children is effortless. And my children are expressed, conscious little beings. This was never the case before this. I shut down their emotions just like I suppressed my own. And yeah. it's just such a gift to everyone around me, not just me, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I think one of the greatest gifts I gave to myself after my divorce was getting a divorce and marrying myself. Was spending yes. that time with Wendy. And I shared with you, you know, I took off in the RV by myself for the first year. And it was, I think what I feared the most was being lonely. But I realized there's a difference between being alone and lonely.
Oh, yes.
I loved hanging out with me and myself and I.
I love it.
But it was a great opportunity to really connect with those parts of me.
Yeah.
And to nurture all of me and to realize who I really am and to not apologize. I mean, considering that I was abandoned so many times in my life, I was also a perfectionist. I figured if I could be perfect and I can please everyone,
then they wouldn't abandon you.
They won't abandon me and they'll love me forever. Oh, and I was like, and being a perfectionist and a people pleaser is freaking exhausting.
All protector parts, perfectionism, people pleasing, overachieving, workaholism, all of these, right?
Yep.
All of these are to protect us from the pain of our little exiled parts. And the reason why they're so exhausting is because they're working so damn hard. And then when they're just on, they're hypervigilant. They're just trying so hard to help us. Yeah. And that's when I was like, oh my God, when I had these moments of like meeting these parts and being like, oh my God, I love this part so much. It's been working so hard for me for decades and having so much love for all those parts. Yeah. It's like, there's your self-love. Like,
I did some in IFS.
IFS, yeah.
I did a lot of that work too. And I can remember realizing that part of me, you know, that was trying to protect and telling that part, hey girl, thanks. Appreciate it. But I got this now. I don't need to be protected. Like, I'm just going to be me Mm-hmm. And whoever loves me, great. And I mean, here it is. I leap out into, just like you said earlier, now I'm blasting my voice out all over the world.
Right, right.
Even tripping over my tongue. The old perfectionist in me would be like, oh my God, you have to re-record that.
Re-record.
Yeah. The lighting's totally not good. You can't do a show in an RV sitting in a dinette with colored pins over here that are crooked. Like, I mean, literally, like, I was that much of a perfectionist. I mean, made a really good French pastry chef. But but it was so nice to it finally clicked for me. Like, I don't have to do all this shit anymore.
It's liberating. It's like freedom. It's freedom from like an inner prison. It's like a prison that we've built for ourselves. And once those protector parts, like you said, it like realizes that you've got this, like you're here.
Right.
Then it can just chill. Like it's like, oh, she's not going to experience pain. Like the real Wendy's true self is here. Like I don't need to, I can slow down. And a lot of times what's cool is in IFS, you, once the parts relax, you sort of ask them, you're like, is there like another job you would want in my system? Like, ask them. You don't tell them, I want to change you. I want to turn you off. I want to expel you. All parts are welcome. We love them all. And then they like take on these new roles that are like amazing.
It makes you even stronger, right? It makes you even more resilient. And then as you look back at the stuff that you went through, no matter how you went through it, you got through it somehow.
You've been through everything you survived everything.
Pat our backs and say, I went through that. I went through that divorce and that one too. And yes, I got abused. I went through that. Got it. Done. Okay.
Right.
Like, let's change this. So, and then bringing it back to dating, right? Like that's the point. Like that, once you can get more connected with your true self.
Yep.
Let all those parts like, okay, thank you. But
appreciate you.
Yeah. I totally appreciate all of that. Right. But then it's time to start creating a life that you love and having a relationship that you love.
Totally. Yes. It's like the more deeply connected to yourself you are, the more deeply you'll be able to connect with another. And the same goes for the partner. Right. And so I just tell people one of the things I love about authentic relating specifically is it has this way about it that when you model it, it just allows for the other person to start doing it as well. It gives permission. I tell people like one of my coaches and mentors, Ryle Castano, he's the guru, in my opinion, of authentic relating. I hate using the word guru, but he's amazing. He wrote the book on it. He co-founded Art International. And, you know, in one of our courses, we were co-facilitating together our conscious dating course we just finished in March. He said, you know, be that which you want to experience in another. So be that. And they will oftentimes follow suit. And so it spreads. It's like my healing is your healing. My revealing, my openness allows for more within another person, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can do that in the dating space. You know, you can model these things. You can be that which you want to experience in others.
I love that.
Yeah.
So how is Sophie Love different than all the others out there?
Than the swipers? So, I mean, look, every matchmaker, first of all, there's so many different types of matchmaking agencies. There's big ones, like big, really huge agencies. And I've worked for one. I worked for Talkify for years. And there's big ones that cost less. There's huge ones that cost a lot, like way more than I do. There's just so many different types, right? I am a boutique matchmaking agency. It's myself. I have two additional matchmakers. We have four recruiters on our team to do the actual recruiting of potential matches. There's myself and two additional coaches. We have Justin Wilford as my IFS, Internal Family Systems, Emotional Health Coach. I have Ryle Castano as my Relational Authentic Relating Coach. We're constantly developing programs and both live and online events that allow for people to start doing this work and doing this and practicing this and healing and growing as they do the process of matchmaking. And we have a whole section, a separate department called digital matchmaking, which is, I have three additional matchmakers who do that. And that's where we actually do, we take over the person's online dating presence for them. So we're removing them from the toxic and very draining behavior of swiping and chatting online. And we will do that for them. And so they're just going on the dates, right? So that's a whole nother thing. But in the end, I would say there's other boutique matchmaking agencies that do this, you know, do matchmaking, bespoke executive matchmaking. We vet, most of us do that. We vet all our matches for our clients. We background check them. We interview them, all of that before we set them up. We plan the dates. We do date feedback. I mean, my approach is just very integrative and very holistic. And I can only hope that the people who hire me are down for this transformational journey. I am just not a transactional matchmaker. If you come to me with like your list, great. I'll give that list to my recruiting team. That's wonderful, as long as it's reasonable. And I believe that it is a reasonable kind of list of criteria, but really it's like, are people like down to understand that they are the common denominator, right? Mm-hmm. Of why they're talking to me in the first place. And what are we going to do? Are they down for that journey to take down the barriers that have been blocking them from connection? Because then as I bring them these connections, they are actually going to be able to truly connect and have a chance at a long-term relationship.
To receive that, yeah.
To receive it. And the process itself is the mirror too, right? Like you go on dates, things come up, and then we dive in. That's it. We've got the.
Oh yeah, that's coaching. The thing. All that stuff. That's when it really bubbles to the surface.
Always.
When you get back out there on the field, right?
Right.
And then you get wounded. Mm-hmm. That's when the work really needs to be done.
Yeah, I call it. I read it in Dick Schwartz's book. You Are the One You've Been Waiting For. It's a book about.
Oh yeah.
IFS and in relationships,
I've read that actually.
The tour mentor. So your partner should be your tour mentor.
He is.
Right. And same with dating, right? It's tour like, mentor. It feels like torment. And then I'm like, but here it is. Here's what we get to work on. Here's what we get to heal. Here's what we get to change.
Yeah, you realize more and more, and I still am now, like I'm in a relationship now, and but whereas before, I used to think arguing or fighting was like, shit, we're done. Like you can't fight in a relationship because of that perfectionism, because everything must be perfect, because if there is any type of conflict, that means it's doomed, like it's tainted.
Right, that part is now, like, this is not going to work.
Right. It's so interesting. And now I look at it like, okay, cool. I just learned more about you and I just learned more about myself. And most importantly, I learned more about the relationship. I know that now if this happens, maybe I should do this. So like you learn to get better at relationships. Mm-hmm. And I'm do not have any problem admitting I was not good at relationships.
No one is. We don't get taught this.
And if you think about it, especially now with the swipe, swipe or no swipey, you can get someone, anybody can get anybody. You can get somebody.
Yeah,
totally. But is that the person that you really want? And is that the relationship that you really want? But here's the thing. I feel like I believe in the power of attraction and like what you put out there will come back to you. Mm-hmm. But then once you realize, and not that you have to have it all figured out, but once you get closer to, I'm a work in progress. But once you get closer to who you are and you realize the relationship that you want to have, it'll come.
Yeah.
It'll happen.
I agree, Wendy. I think the stronger your relationship becomes between yourself and all those parts. Yeah. That's the relationship, right? Yeah. And you just, you aren't, like I said, you aren't ruled, like the parts that have been protecting you your whole life and have been running the show, they're no longer at the wheel of the bus. It's, they're relaxed back. They know you're here, right? And your true self can like lead the way. And that's the key. And it's always a work in progress. I get triggered all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. But it, the awareness around it, the resilience from it, and the stepping away, because the trigger is always a part. It's not you. When you're angry or pissed, that's a part just there, like having a reaction. And it's just so liberating to be like, oh God, okay, like what does this part need? What's its story? Why is it so upset? You know? And it's mostly about you.
Right. Yeah, you exactly. Yeah. And I think it's so important just to spend that time in reflection and really look at who you are and forgive. It has nothing to do with shame, or you should never feel bad. I mean, and a lot of us were doing the best we can with what we were taught.
Everyone.
Whether that was consciously or unconsciously.
So were our parents. It's like everyone. Yeah. It's just kind of like you realize like shit, like, like human suffering is inescapable. It's unavoidable. It's the common denominator. Mm-hmm. It's the great equalizer.
Yeah.
Right. And so here we are. I don't know. It's like Ram Dass, like we're all just walking each other home.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Oh, so beautiful. I love this conversation.
Me too.
And even though I'm not dating, it's just like, I mean, again, like I said in the beginning, like you'll get something out of this because it's all has to do with relating to others and relating to yourself, most importantly.
If you're dating or in relationship or just single, highly recommend. Wendy, for you, you've already read You Are the One You've Been Waiting For.
Yes, that was a good one.
Tell your boyfriend to read it because it's amazing when your partner speaks the same language. My husband read, you know, Dick Schwartz, No Bad Parts, and suddenly was like, oh shit, I have exiles. I was like, yep, you do. And then he started doing it and our relationship completely changed. And I also highly recommend Ryle Castano's book, Authentic Relating, A Guide to Rich, Meaningful Relationships. It's on Amazon. It's amazing. And it's such a great book. It's so amazing for dating. And it's so amazing for all relationships, for your family, friends, everything. But it's a really cool book to read with your partner. Like you both read it.
Yeah. Oh, I want to get that.
Do it. Do it. It's amazing. They have a bunch of courses. Also, Art International does courses. They do them for everyone. For Michael and I, my husband and I, we took Authentic Relating Level 1 together. It was just not for couples, just for everyone. Level 1, Level 2. And then we both did the Authentic Leadership Program as well. So we moved through. And that's what I use in my events, my facilitation, in our coaching. It's just we kind of combine the two. Like I said, I think for me, authentic relating and internal family systems have been like the cornerstones of authentic, conscious living and relating. So those are my big recommendations.
See, I needed selfie love, 6 years ago? That's what I needed you guys. Instead of like, I mean, thankfully the swiping wasn't around really. I mean, just a few years ago when it got really popular.
Yeah.
But I was smart enough to, I hired a goddess coach. Thank you very much. Just to kind of get more connected with my
family.
And then she was the one that was pushing me to date. I didn't really want to date. I was kind of scared. I was like, I don't know what to do. But it was the greatest experience because I went out there with a good mindset of this is just, I'm going to just experience and just take all this in. And then I realized more and more about what I wanted, who I wanted. And if you're out there dating, like learn from it.
Yeah. Grow from it. Expand.
Yeah, I know. So where can we find you?
Okay, so my website is www.sophie.love. My Instagram is matchmaker Sophie. I'm also on LinkedIn, Sophie Singer, Sophy. Those are the best ways, really. I also have a Facebook page, Sophie Singer, Sophie Love Matchmaking. If you Google Sophie Love Matchmaking, I'll pop right up. Those are the best ways to connect. You can join our singles database. It's free, no charge to join at all. You could potentially be matched with a client. We also do a ton of collaboration with other matchmakers all over the country and all over the world. So you could potentially be contacted, and we might say, hey, we might have a match for you with another matchmaker's client. No introduction to a client it's at no cost to our members. Obviously, we still have to meet them over Zoom, vet them, chat with them, background check them. And it's all internal and private. So our clients don't sit and scroll through our database. Only our team does. And then obviously we offer workshops, things like that, and paid client experiences, which include executive bespoke matchmaking, digital matchmaking, conscious date coaching, and hybrids that I sometimes create of all of those for every client based on their needs.
I find it interesting, like the people that I interview on the show, that we all kind of create what we wanted. Like I created the Midlife Makeover Show because it's what I needed.
Exactly.
At the time.
Me right? too. Oh my God. I know. I've been matchmaking and date coaching for 14 years, but what it is now is exactly what I needed when I was single. And that's exactly right, Wendy. I love that you said that.
We're our own guinea pigs, right? We go through all this stuff so that we can, I figured it out. Now I'm going to produce this so that everyone else can have it. I love it.
Yeah. It's our healing is everyone else's healing. So.
Yeah. So good. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sophie.
Thank you for having me. This was such a joy. It really was such a wonderful experience.
All right. Thank you so much. Everyone have a great day.
Did this podcast inspire you, challenge you, trigger you to make a change, or spit out your coffee laughing? Good. Then there are three ways you can thank me. Number one, you can leave a written review of this podcast on Apple iTunes. Number two, you can take a screenshot of the episode and share it onto social media and tag me, Wendy Valentine. Number three, share it with another midlifer that needs a makeover. You know who I'm talking about. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Get out there and be bold, be free, be you.